5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? Think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
With that song, as the kids say, if you know, you know. But that was second hour of the Blitz. Rejoin as we rejoin you on the second hour of a Friday edition of the Killer Bees. As the announcer said, Jeremy's out doing Cougar basketball. We are reminiscing and remembering the one, the only, the legendary Fred Fowler as he passed away at the age of 59. If you missed it yesterday, some of you were texting asking what happened to Fred. And we're encouraging you guys to call in at the start of every segment and give us your fondest memories of Fred, AJ, the Blitz. Or you can text them in, 713-780-3776. Hit us on Twitter. I'm checking that as well. And, of course, Day One Donna, who was the Day One Blitzer and a Day One Usual Suspect, she chimed in with a text that I appreciate. And Donna said, if it wasn't for Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, I would not have so many wonderful friends today. The Blitz brought so many of us together, and then the Usual Suspects came along, and the building of friendships and lifelong friends, well, it was made even broader. Fred was a great, great man. Stay sportsy, bitches, which is another Fred Fowler exclusive that I'd forgot about. Donna, thank you so much. We love you. We know the Blitz loves you, and we know Fred loved you. So we appreciate you sharing some of that with us, as you do all the time, by sharing your support for all of our shows. So we'll continue to roll on. All right, so we got to the Astros news of the day with Urquidy and the elbow, and then posed the question to you guys to get the great feedback about, do you want another starting pitcher? Are you willing to go further over the tax threshold? But if you do, who do you want? And we pretty much broke it down to, someone said Clevinger. I don't think they have, that's not a Jim Crane move.
Yeah.
Jim Crane's looking for splash. He's either going to get the reigning Cy Young Award winner, or he's going to be one of the heroes of the World Series victory for the Rangers. It's going to be a two-horse race. It's going to be Montgomery. See what I did there? Fred was a horse guy. Montgomery or Snell. So as we open hour number two, we're going to open with some Texans news that kind of caught some people by surprise, because as you know, we've been making mock drafts great again. We've been asking you your feedback when we look at all the different mock drafts and who they're projecting the Texans to take at number 23, their first round pick. And then lo and behold, breaking news across the screen this morning, the Minnesota Vikings have acquired a second first round pick. Whether they use it to move up or they use both first round picks, it doesn't matter. They got it from your Houston Texans. So the Texans traded away number 23 this year and one of their seventh-round picks. They get back number 42 this year, a sixth round this year, and the Vikings' 2025 second round next year. So they are stocking up more players, more opportunities. And as Jeremy notated, maybe they're also stocking up some cap space. They also restructured Shaq Mason's contract. So maybe that clears more cap space for a bigger move. We don't know. But now you don't have a cap hold on a first-round pick, as we speak about it right now, which opens up more cash for you to use if you're Nick Caserio right now. Are you good with the trade, Brian McDonald, and your first thoughts when you heard this thing go down?
Well, my first thought was, I hadn't seen it yet. When you texted Joe and I this morning, yep, and I immediately had to go, oh crap, run to Twitter and find out exactly what happened. Because when you said the Texans had traded their first round pick in that text to me, my initial thought was like, oh, Nick Casario's actually moved up. Maybe this is, we love Byron Murphy and we feel like we have to get to 18 or some pick around there to get him. So that was where my initial thought process was. And then I see that they traded the pick away. My initial gut reaction was disappointment. But as you dig into the deal, I think it makes a lot of sense. And it also seems like a very, very Nick Casario move. So really super quickly into kind of the details and like the cap details that might be a little bit nerdy. But according to Texans Cap on Twitter, who looks at some of these, you know, these trade value charts, the Texans with this move won the move by enough to actually equate to the value of a third-round pick. So they won the deal based upon trade value by quite a bit. So by that point, I certainly like it. And I think it makes a lot of sense because when you, I, and Jeremy were doing these mock draft segments and we'd get to 23, it was always, okay, 23, take a pass rusher. 23, take a defensive lineman because corner and wide receiver are deeper and you can find that in the second round. Well, they don't need an edge rusher right now. You have Will Anderson. You have Danielle Hunter. You could use the defensive tackle, but Byron Murphy's not going to be there, and it feels like it's too early for you know, guys like Tavondre Sweat. So I think looking at their needs, it makes a lot of sense. If they want to add a wide receiver three, if they want to add a corner, those guys are going to be there in the second round because of how deep this draft is at those positions. They no longer need the edge rusher that would be gone before they get to the second round. So in the process, they pick up a second round pick to move back from Minnesota. And Minnesota doesn't project to be a very good team next year. So that second round pick suddenly, probably, depending on who they get at quarterback, looks like it could be a top 40 pick next year.
Look, this is kind of the way I was looking at it, too. When I first heard it, I was shocked because I was like, well, that was going to be projecting to be a starter of a pretty high caliber that they're going to need. Because, you know, we talked about it yesterday, Brian. You and I and Jeremy talked about it earlier in the week. I think that I've said all along I wanted them to go defense with the first round pick. And with all the things that they'd already done, it looks like to me, no matter what you think of Okuda, that they're probably going to go corner in the first round now to strengthen the defense. But when you look at it, and you hear some of the people we've talked to in terms of trying to project the draft, it's a very deep draft in corners. It's a very deep draft in receivers. But there's only a select three top-notch interior defensive linemen. And we know that Murphy from Texas is probably going to go way higher than the Texans we're going to get to anyway. And if Sweat falls, and the projection is if someone takes a flyer, they might take a flyer, you know, right around 20. If they don't, he could be a second-round pick. So whether you're looking at corner, and there were multiples, and most of those corners, no matter who you liked more, if you were in the case of liking Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, you know, he could go. If he goes, well, then you've got multiple other options. You got the kid from Clemson. You've got the kid from Iowa. There was a couple other guys that were, was it Wheatstraw?
Yeah, Rakestraw. The Iowa was Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean has a leg injury. He hasn't worked out yet. Even Kool-Aid McKinstry is dealing with the pinky toe issue. So they were waiting to see him work out. But there's going to be a corner that slides to where you could probably get him with the Minnesota pick now. So you can still handle your business, do what you need to do, but you added a second for next year. And to your point, especially since they don't have Kirk Cousins, unless you believe in Sam Darnold more than most, and you've got Aaron Jones and you've got Justin Jefferson, Vikings probably are going to have a pick that's going to be, like, to your point, very valuable to the Texans on top of having their own, where you can add some more talent.
Yeah, and I'm going to work off the assumption that what Minnesota is doing here is acquiring picks for a trade-up. I think they try to trade up to maybe the Giants at number six. If the Giants are going to stick with Daniel Jones for this year, I could see the maybe trying to trade up, use their own pick plus the pick they got from the Texans, and then use that as the package to get up to number six and take maybe J.J. McCarthy, because you would assume the top three quarterbacks with Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels are still going to be gone before six, and I don't think they could get up high enough to get one of those three guys. So I think they go to six, they get J.J. McCarthy, but even with J.J. McCarthy, even if it's him and not Sam Darnold, I still don't think they're going to be...
No, not year one.
Yeah, not year one, and I don't even really...
Nobody's having another C.J. year, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't even really believe in J.J. McCarthy, but putting that aside, I just don't see them, whether it be a rookie quarterback and it's not one of the top three, or Sam Darnold, they're probably looking at a 4 or 5 win season. So you're going to end up with that second round pick that the Texans got from Minnesota next year with the pick inside the top 40, all to drop back to a spot where there's still going to be a lot of talent at your needs at wide receiver and defensive back anyway.
Yeah, look, I think that's the key to me, because the more I watch Nick Caserio operate, the more I've got Daryl Morey vibes. And Daryl Morey is a guy that never let a draft day or a trade deadline go without making a move. And now, because they've made one, that doesn't necessarily mean he's done. I mean, he could quite possibly have something up his sleeve to where if someone does start to fall or there is someone that he likes, he has the capital to go right back into the first round.
Absolutely.
And get what he needs to get so he can get that done too. So we'll continue to discuss that on the other side. What the Texans have done so far, are you disappointed they gave up their first round pick? Do you understand why we're telling you that getting these second round picks could actually benefit and help the Texans? And not only just because of the picks themselves, but for opening up cap space, and maybe they're not done doing something bigger and more and broader than just their first round pick. We'll be back with a whole lot more, so don't step away for even a single second. Stay right here with us in the Hive for the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Rolling through hour number 2 of the 2.5 hour show today. We're out at 5:30 for A&M basketball. Just a little bit of a side note. 5:15, we do have one little special extra touch to remember the Falcon Fred Fowler on this day after, as he passed away yesterday at the age of 59. We all are spending all day sharing our best memories and letting you share yours of Fred Fowler. Some of the other ones that had been rolling in, I encourage everyone to look at buying Fred's book, which was Jesus Left Chicago. And Honey Glazed Branham says it's very good. It gives you an insight into Fred's creative side. He was a huge sci-fi guy. We obviously know he was a great writer from his days at the Chronicle. But thank you for that, Honey Glazed. Also, I kind of glazed over it because, no pun intended, but the fact that most people knew this, but that Tombstone article that the caller called in about when the Astros were basically buried and left for dead was Fred's, and he was proud of it. He was proud that he felt like in some indirect way that article motivated the Astros to do what they said, and he said couldn't be done, and then they went and did what they did. So Freddie was able to kind of own even those kind of things. He was very humble all the time about, owning his shortcomings. I was texting with Doc Linville last night, and I said, you literally made him a rock star again, because Fred was short on hair and follicles, and Doc Linville did the procedure, and Fred walked in here like one of the lost members of, like, what's the guys from the Patriots that the New England Patriots have on the sidelines that look like the drummer and the flute player and all the old Patriots from back in the day. Fred had the bandages around his head. He was supposed to take the day off, but he came in here and did a full show, and then he never cut it. He had like the full mullet, and then he was still performing, doing like rock bands and things like that. And he loved the fact that Doc Linville gave him his hair back.
So I there's a right answer to this. I hope you get it right. Of everyone here at 97.5 currently, who is most likely to do something like a Tombstone article and then take credit for the team's turnaround?
Paul.
It's Jeremy.
Well, that's true. Jeremy takes credit for everything.
I think it'd be
between one of those two guys, because Paulie's pretty quick about it, too. Paulie was interviewing John McClain and still patting it, finding a way to pat himself on the back.
Well, just like obviously with Jeremy's day that will live in infamy, he's already done this. He says the day will live in infamy, but now when he says it, he turns it around for the rest of the NFL. So I think Jeremy...
It's a good poll.
I think Jeremy would be very very apt to not only have the Tombstone article, but then take credit for it as the team
good
turns
point.
It around.
Very good point, Brian McDonald, because of the fact that he still takes credit for Taco Tuesday.
See? Exactly.
Yeah.
It's totally Jeremy.
5493 said, I started listening back when it was Fred and Matt Dean. The Blitz is what got me to start listening to sports radio and going to the local events in Beaumont. Fred was the best. And the stories from Beaumont 409ers and B-Town and Big Money B-Town, because we used to have that fun when we used to do those shows. Fred was like a mayor of Beaumont. Like, everyone came to see Fred in Beaumont. And like I said, you were only a stranger once to Fred and to AJ, of course, as well. And then as the suspects got involved when we would go down to Beaumont, the people just started to kind of also stay and listen to us and be with us. And it was fun. And it was great because we created our own kind of cult following in a city that we weren't, wasn't our main city. But when you look at the ratings, like we were top six in Beaumont with the rock and music stations because of the fact that people loved what we were doing. So very cool stuff still coming in on Fred. And of course, share your memories with us, 713-780-3776. Text us your favorite memories of Fred. Call us. We're going to try and start every segment with something about Fred, past good memories and things that we remember about Fred Fowler as we remember and celebrate the life of one Fred the Falcon. Okay, so we're getting back into this Texans conversation, Brian. Do you think that they're done? Because I honestly think, I really believe Casario's got a lot of Daryl Morey in him, but I can really, truly see Casario's going to play the market. He's going to keep his cards close to the vest. If there's a chance like a Murphy slides, or if there's a corner that he's hell-bent on and we know that like he will find a way to get infatuated with one corner, and then no matter what, that's the guy he's going to go get, that he's not going to be afraid to make another move if it means solidifying the guy that he has to have.
Yeah, don't get fooled by the sweater vest. Nick Casario is a shark, and sharks have to keep moving or they die. I very much see Nick Casario as that sort of person. He has to keep moving. He has to keep wheeling and dealing, or he's just not going to be here. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Nick Casario uses the extra picks that they got and uses that to trade back up into – I don't know if he could get all the way to the first round. I certainly would be surprised if he could get up high enough to get a Byron Murphy. But, I mean, look at the last couple of drafts for Nick Casario. He's trading up constantly. He's traded up for guys like John Metchie, Damian Pierce. He's traded up all across the board. So I wouldn't be surprised if a corner, maybe an interior offensive lineman, because left guard is still a need. Maybe wide receiver, if he loves one, that could be the Texans wide receiver three. If the Texans, you know, find that guy early in the second round, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the graphic up saying a trade is made and the Texans now have this pick, because between their own second, the second they got from Minnesota, and the second next year, they have plenty ammunition to move up if they find a player they have to have fall a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that this is a really good spot for the Texans to be in. They don't have a cap hold for a first-round pick currently. They restructured Shaq's contract on the offensive line so that they have more money to play with. They missed out on Armstead. That doesn't mean that they don't have another plan up their sleeve. Look, when you look at it and you look at what they're trying to do, it was the ultimate plan coming together with every move they made until they got a little ahead of themselves, because they let Rankins go get away. And they traded Collins, and even though it was supposed to be for Armstead, which would have made a massive difference and then would have given you probably the best defensive line in the NFL based on how many guys have left teams like the Niners, the Chargers, and others. But instead, because he went, they couldn't get that deal done, and the Niners just flat out let him go, and then he subsequently ends up in Jacksonville, you do have a bit of an issue stopping the run now.
Yeah, and that you and I talked about that concern yesterday. I'm kind of hoping that one of their second round picks could be T'Vondre Sweat. I think that would go a long way towards fixing that issue in the running game. And that's certainly, look, there's like five issues I think still remain for the Houston Texans: interior offensive line, the second defensive tackle, wide receiver three, running back depth, and the second corner. Because
Safety.
Safety, yeah, you could.
I think safety's in the mix.
Okay, you can make it. You make it six then, and that even furthers the point. And you have two second round picks and a third round pick, so obviously you can't address all six needs with only three picks. So we might be in a situation where the Houston Texans go past the draft without us being satisfied with everything that they've done to fill every hole that they have. But I think they've added enough talent to this team that we're still going to look at this offseason as a thumbs up and a plus.
I think it should be a win. I heard some people on the Highway to Hell just losing their mind.
Oh, my God. I haven't verified this, but someone I used to work for who might be from Baytown apparently thinks the Texans' defense is worse now than it was last year.
Indeed, I heard it.
I heard it live. Okay, so this is not just
rumor. I heard it live.
Oh, my God.
And I almost pulled off the road going, are you effing kidding me? Like, you're going to say that, especially on the flagship, and expect people to believe that what they've done isn't way better than what they had, no matter how good you thought the interior defensive line was. Like, and they're not done yet. That's the thing. Like, there's still moves to be made as well.
Two seconds and a third. Like, I mean, I get that it's not pick 23, but you could clearly get starters in the second and third round. Christian Harris wasn't a first round pick, and we all love Christian Harris.
If you get Sweat and a corner in the second round,
you wouldn't be excited.
How could you not be fired up? Plus, Settle was only a veteran's minimum. So that whether you keep him on the roster for depth, but if there's an upgrade to be made, there's room to make sure that you get a better defensive tackle, and then you've got backup with the two guys you've already signed to basically minimum deals.
Yeah, and look, of all the places or all the things that are left in free agency, there's still a good amount of veteran safeties available. So there's still a ton. I think there's still a chance with the money you save, you know, from the Malik Collins trade, from the money you save from restructuring Shaq Mason, maybe that goes towards a safety. And now let's say in like the scenario you just brought up, your second round picks are Devondre Sweat in a corner. Now you've addressed three of those six needs. You can get your depth running back in the third, fourth round, no problem. You don't have to spend a second round pick on that. So you could easily, without much, I don't want to call it effort, but you can very easily address four of those six needs. And even if you only address, you know, two or three of them, with all they've added with Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, and Azeez Al-Shaahir, Joe Mixon, I don't see how you could possibly look at this team and say it's worse. I can see how you could be concerned about the run defense. You and I share that concern. If that was the Baytown Baddies' concern at their run defense, then I share that concern.
Sure.
But you can't look at this defense with the pass rushers they've added, the upgrade at linebacker they've added, you know, going from guys like Denzel Perryman to Azeez Al-Shaahir. You can't look at that and say the defense is worse.
No, you absolutely can't. You look at the fact that you could add a Poyer. Denver released Simmons. Like, you're looking at guys and going, whether Jimmy Ward is capable of staying healthy at this point in his career or not, there are veterans that can help Petrie, that can get better, that can give you the opportunity to be way better than you were a year ago at the back end of your defense. But you already know you got D'Amico guys in the middle and at with the defensive lineman you brought in that make your defense better than it was last season, no matter what you think. Before we go to the break, let's get Andy in here. He's got some thoughts on the DT position. What's up, Andy?
Well, I can say his name. I know you guys can't. But Nick is a goofball. And if for anybody to start talking trash about Casario and D'Amico from, you know, because I can tell you what, Nick is not making these moves on his own. He is consulting both his coordinators and his head coach. So, and you know that because Malik Collins isn't here. So the trade didn't go through, but they still shipped him, which means D'Amico didn't want him here. If D'Amico wanted Malik Collins here, Malik Collins would be here. That's bottom line, because the money was good for him to be here for another year. That's the bottom line. So you got to trust. If you're going to yell at Nick, you might as well yell at D'Amico on that move. There's nothing happening on that team without D'Amico's approval. I'll guarantee you that. Nick is not a tyrant.
No, we're not saying that either, but we appreciate it, Andy. I get what you're saying. Look, the bottom line is that there is a plan. I think that they have multiple facets to which way they could go with the plan. But the biggest thing that to Andy's point is, and to his credit is, you're not going to trade Malik Collins if you don't have a solution to that somewhere in your back pocket. It could be the draft. It could be a trade. It could be someone that's going to be a cap casualty or something that you know might be coming down the pike. I truly believe that there is an answer to the run defensive tackle that they need. It just maybe we haven't seen it yet. It's kind of like the first day of free agency when everybody lost their mind going, what are they doing? They're not doing anything. They're terrible.
It was just like the first 3 hours everyone was losing their mind. They didn't even – because D'Amico Autry was day one. They just, you know, didn't want to wait. And to back up what the caller Andy said, I mean, we played that audio right after the season ended from D'Amico Ryans talking about, you know, we have to improve the defensive front. That was like his main thing. It's possible that Malik Collins is one of the things he wanted to improve. So, you know,
what was the first thing we said when we heard that? Well, he obviously doesn't like Sheldon Rankins. He won't be back. And maybe he doesn't like Rankins and Collins as much as we did.
He clearly doesn't.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't.
Lots more to get to. Rob, hang in there. You've got NFL draft conversation you want to get
next,
to.
Right?
Oh, who said
it? It's that time. You're going solo.
I'm going solo on who said it. Rob, either hang in there or call back at 445. We'll get you back in here on the NFL draft. Coming up next, America's favorite game show, Who Said It? Brian McDonald has been pissing me off. So let's see if he's going to win or I'm going to have a good weekend. And before we do that, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. I was telling you about the fact Doc Linville did Fred's neograft. Fred was so proud of that darn thing. He grew that thing out and never got it cut because he loved the rock and roll mullet that he was able to achieve thanks to the neograft and Doc Linville. Just like Fred did, Granado did, and I did, we're going to tell you to be the next in line to get it done for yourself. The neograft procedure is a game changer because it's not fake hair. It's not sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem. It's taking your own hair where genetically you're never going to lose it. That's the sides and the back of your head. Putting it where you need it most, like up and top in front or on the back where you get the baboon's booty showing and you think there's nothing to do but slap a hat on it. Nope, you can get your hair back and it is a game changer. And because you listen to us and you're interested in them at Doc Linville's place, go to 975hair.com and you can get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. For you, it's absolutely free, and you can ask questions, get answers, no signing on the dotted line, no cash out of pocket. But if you're interested and you want to do the procedure, he's the best in the business, and you are going to get your hair back. I did it, couldn't be happier with it. Procedure was literally painless. I saw the follicles immediately. In 6 to 9 months, I saw the full hair get stronger, longer, and give me coverage area I never thought I'd get again. You can be next in line to check them out. You should be next in line to sign up for the actual procedure. It's fantastic. Get the neograft with Doc Linville. Go to 975hair.com.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. T-Mac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
All right, back at the normally midway point on a Friday show, which you know means that it's time for America's favorite game show, Who Said It?
I think it's your favorite game if you win.
Right, which is the way it's supposed to be when you're highly competitive like me, but I also think that you got a little bit on the Bush League Joe George side of things last week.
What was Bush League about it?
The multiples, the way
Multiples always fair. I've always said that.
Yeah, but the way
I'm not hiding it.
Anyway, we still have been pretty good lately. I think we won 2 out of 3 until last week. We lost after 2 in a row, but you got us, and so you get credit for that as opposed to hammering Joe George like we normally do. So let's get the ball rolling. Let's see what you got today.
All right, I'll let you know. I don't know if you want it, but I went ahead and prepared an extra one, a sixth one, since we might go through this a little bit quicker with you being solo without Jeremy. So just throwing out there, if you want a sixth one is available.
All right,
but quote number one. I can read. I just don't like to read. I can't. I can read. I just don't like to read. I could tell you the last full book I read.
All right, Brian, I think I'm going to actually take credit for this before I get it. I'm going to tell you right now that between the two G-men, Paul Gallant is a reader. He's currently reading a book. He spoke the other day about reading said book.
And then
the resident PhD of the group, Joe George, came in with that little nugget, which was that he doesn't read. He can read, but he doesn't read. I'm going Joe George final answer.
I can read. I just don't like to read. I can read.
Well done.
I can read.
You clearly heard the segment.
I just don't like to read.
I don't have to tell you what my recourse is for getting to the answer. I got it.
Oh, yeah. I was a little wary about picking something from when you had been driving in yesterday, so that was definitely an error on me, but we'll see how the rest of this goes. All right, okay. So you're up 1-0.
Yeah.
All right, quote number two. Here's the policy I have going for. This is talking kind of about the election.
Okay.
Here's the policy I have going for. How about we don't have some old, decrepit person? How about that? That's a policy.
This sounds Granado right off the cuff. This sounds like something that he would say. I know that Pauly was grossly attracted to the Republican response to the Biden State of the Union because of the dramatic Real Housewives.
That lady was pretty hot.
She was pretty creepy.
She was very creepy and weird, but she was also pretty hot.
She was saying like really negative terms in a really overly like happy term.
We hear you.
She was just flat out
She was very creepy and weird.
And I heard Paul sexualizing her throughout the show.
She's pretty hot, man.
And evidently, he wasn't the only one. This could be...
You want it one more time?
Yeah, please.
Here's the policy I have going forward. How about we don't have some old, decrepit person? How about that? That's a policy.
Man. You could Bush League me and go Joe George two in a row. Because I know it could have been spun off of Paul commenting, because Paul's more political than Joe. I think Granato and Lance could have this conversation. I think this could be John and Lance very easily. But I just don't know. I'm going to, because obviously in the sake of time too, I'm just going to take a flyer. I'm going to go with my initial gut. I'm going to say John.
Here's the policy I have going forward. How about we don't have some old decrepit person? How about 50, that? 50. That's a policy.
I had it, too. I knew exactly the context of it, everything.
You were John or Paul's. You were 50-50 there. Dang it. Very close.
All right. One and one.
Going to quote number three. New Orleans doesn't put a lot into their infrastructure. They're like, here's some money from the state. Great. I'm going to hand them out to each other. No, that's supposed to go to your roads. Now, this person, I will say, is doing both sides of a conversation. Like a mock conversation between two sides. I'll reread it again because it's a little bit confusing.
All right.
New Orleans doesn't put a lot into their infrastructure. They're like, hey, here's some money from the state. Great. I'm going to put them and I'm going to hand it out to each other. No. That's supposed to go to your roads.
I could see Dell saying this. And specifically, if it's a conversation where you're speaking about both sides, then it would be right down Dell's alley. But it also could be news of the weird, in which John and Lance are taking both sides of a discussion about
this
something.
This is one person speaking. I'm just saying they're
I
doing.
Know, I know. Okay. I know. I get sure it. That was I get clear. It. I'm just trying to figure out and conceptualize which shows and who could be talking about this. Dell talks about anything, and news of the weird always opens up the opportunity for the bench, or if we call them that now. Otherwise, it's John.
Yeah,
and Lance.
I think it's just John and Lance.
Regardless, you know who I'm speaking of. Man, again, I'll just go with gut. I'm going to say Dell.
New Orleans doesn't put a lot into their infrastructure.
You were so close.
They're like, here's some money from the state. Great.
I'm 1-2 and should be 3-0 right now. That's
no, that's supposed to go to your roads.
Yeah, you were so close there. When you said News of the Weird, I was a little worried there because that was Lance from News of the Weird.
Damn it.
All right, so you still got a chance to run the table here. You can get a winning week. All right, quote number four. Because I rarely get ill... Mostly because I keep myself away from people. That's the secret sauce. Not avoid the cold. Not keep yourself warm. Just stay away from people. And their germs can't get you.
Secret sauce is something that I've heard from somebody before. I can't really pin it. But just being completely antisocial, anti-people, and anti-friendly seems like it's so pro-Dell. Can I have it one more time?
Yeah, of course. Because I rarely get ill. Mostly because I keep myself away from people. That's the secret sauce. Not avoid the cold. Not keep yourself warm. Just stay away from people. And their germs can't get you.
Unless you're like cougar 80-year-old women that he likes to date. This sounds like Dell. I'm going to say Dell.
Because I rarely get ill. Mostly because I keep myself away from people. That's the secret.
I got a shot.
You got a shot. 2-2 going into quote five. Yeah, that one, in hindsight, that one is very Dell.
That is 100%. That is Dell all day,
very antisocial. Yeah, very antisocial. Okay. All right. Quote number five. I really don't like tomato juice, but then it just... Once I started drinking more, I started going into the Bloody Mary, and now I love them too.
All right, so Dell's out because he doesn't drink. So now it becomes John, who we all know drinks like a fish. Lance, who's more foo-foo drinker and foodie drinker. And, of course, Maestro DeBell. And Jeremy's out, right?
Yeah, no Jeremy.
Okay.
Jeremy's
so it's either John, Lance, Paul, or the ever polished Joe George.
Do you need to quote one more time?
Yes.
All right. I really don't like tomato juice, but then it just... Once I started drinking more, I started going to the Bloody Mary, and now I love them too.
Lance seems like a Bloody Mary guy. I don't think Granato is. Paulie obviously seems like a Bloody Mary guy, and he's probably doing it somewhere in the Heights at one of the hoity-toity, hip and trendy spots. So I'm going to narrow it down to those two. I don't think Joe is doing any Bloody Marys. Joe's just going for the quick drunk. Paul.
I really don't like tomato juice, but then it just...
That's Joe?
That's
more,
Joe.
Oh, my God.
Started with Bloody Mary, and now I love him.
Oh, sorry there, Joel.
So close and yet so far away.
And it was a question, what was it, two and three that got you, that you're 50-50 on the politician.
And then I was completely off base with the last one. You want to save six? No, you can't.
We could do it just for fun if you want to.
Maybe I can break even.
All right. I was on Team Fire His Ass last year. I apologize, Nick Asario. I apologize. You were right. I am wrong. Where's my camera? I am dumb. You're smart. You're a robot. I'm human, but you're still smarter than me.
Well, that sounds like Joe George. Yeah, I mean, just the last part alone screams Joe George. And since it doesn't matter except for breaking even, I'll say Joe George.
I was on Team Fire His Ass last year.
Well, now I break even. Now I feel better. Now I can have a good weekend. I like that sixth question, Brian McDonald.
You're right.
Thank you.
I am wrong.
You're welcome.
Push! I love it. Let's push out of the segment before I take another L. I'm good. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Look, we're having some fun, but we're also remembering our good friend Fred Fowler as Freddie passed away. A lot of people are still texting in, what did I miss? What happened to Fred? Fred passed away at the age of 59. AJ Hoffman was tweeting about it last night. He also was texting us directly and said they were supposed to do their Falcon cast that he was doing, that he was really proud of, and AJ was doing that with him from Vegas. AJ normally got a call from Fred to basically get the number to call in to do the show. He didn't get a call. He didn't hear back. He called him, and he didn't answer. He got some people involved, and Fred was found deceased on his couch at his place. So we're celebrating the life of Fred Fowler, the Falcon, and all the good times and memories you guys have had, we've had, and others have had, and having some fun with some Blitz audio as well. So we're going to continue to roll on. If you guys have those memories of Fred, please call me in, 713-780-3776, or text them, as I'm getting a lot of those, and we're going to try and start each segment with those until we get off the air at 5:30. Got a treat for you at 5:15 with another memory of Fred. And, of course, before we do all that, we know it's a big sports weekend coming up in Houston. We know that you've got some tournament games going on in basketball, getting ready for the big dance. And the big dance is also a great place to keep this in mind. But with everything going on in sports, there's only one place I always tell you to bet money. That's MyBookie.ag. Because MyBookie.ag is constantly taking care of you by giving you an opportunity to have your money safe, a place where you can put bets down, and a place where they're always taking care of you as well. Right now, they're doing it again. Sign up now. Take advantage of a generous welcome bonus on your first deposit, all the way up to $1,000. You put $200 in, you get $300 ready to play instantly by using our promo code here at the station, BET975. And the fun doesn't stop there. You get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions to help you decide who to put your money on. All you got to do is take your viewing experience to the next level with real-time live betting that lets you stream and bet the games right from MyBookie.ag. Go to MyBookie.ag. Always remember that promo code BET975 to use so that you can cash in. And the best part about MyBookie, you can always do what I always tell you, and that is bet anything, anytime, anywhere from a place that always has your back. Use our promo code BET975, and even when there's games not going on, if you want to get into some casino gambling, they have blackjack, they have poker, they have roulette, they have live dealers standing by so that you can get your gambling fix on 24/7 every day of the week. Check them out today. Use our promo code BET975. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, back on a Friday edition of the Killer Bees. Jeremy's doing Cougar basketball. We're remembering Fred Fowler all day today as the Falcon passed away at the age of 59 yesterday. The station all day in their own separate ways, each show doing their best to memorialize, remember, and celebrate the life of one Fred the Falcon Fowler and all the different people he touched and the huge heart that he had across this business, the Chronicle, and others. A lot of texts coming in. What are the odds? What are the odds Wednesday? Great. See, we get a lot of texts from 0002. The problem is we get them the first time. We don't need six of them. We get them. It's just sometimes we can't get to them. But 002 said, what are the odds? Good call. Good pull. Blitzers gathered together on the radio to talk about Game of Thrones, Banshee, Preacher, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and even The Walking Dead for the first three seasons. Rest in peace, Fred Fowler, along with alien talk and, of course, the over-the-top sexual talk they used to do. They got prostate exams on the air live. And, of course, everybody remembers the pepper spray incident with Jong, which there were ramifications. These guys changed radio and sports radio in Houston and all over the place with the things they did, and Freddie was a big part of that. So those were all great takes right there. Wanted to get those in. Let's see. Fred and AJ introduced me to Game of Thrones, my favorite show. I will always remember that. Thank you. I never met Fred, but knew him from the early days of the Blitz, and we were Facebook friends. He used to play Golf Clash with me regularly. Stay sportsy, bitches. That was another good one. RIP Falcon, Jason in Beaumont. Jason, thank you. As we mentioned, Freddie was a legend. He could have been from mayor in the city of Beaumont. So a lot of good memories still filing in. Of course, get them to me. And the last one, Joel Ain't Lying. Met Fred and Joel and Barry, of course, multiple times at shows in Beaumont. First time to meet Fred was in the Luke's Beaumont parking lot, walking in before he got started that day. Super friendly. Gave me some good betting advice. Talked to him several times after that. He always seemed like a nice, genuine dude. Hated to hear the news this morning, and that is exactly who Fred Fowler was. All right, before we transition to some Rockets talk after a win last night, Rob has been patiently waiting on hold to talk about the NFL draft. Want to get him in here. Rob, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. First, obviously, I want to send my condolences to the station and any of the Falcon family. Definitely a tough loss for you guys, so I wanted to start off with that. Secondly, I'm not as bullish on the Texans draft pick trade as you are. Kind of think that it takes away a bit from their chances to compete next season. Although if one of the cornerbacks slides like you think that it might, then I'll take that back. My question is, do you think that Cuffario could be playing chess and possibly there's a D tackle in the league right now or cornerback, maybe Sneed, that he could take the Texans second round pick this year, trade for it, and then he moved up in this year's second round, acquired another second round, and used his own second round to trade for a proven person, a proven veteran for this upcoming season?
Look, Rob, I think you're onto something, but I think we kind of mentioned that too. Whether it's that kind of a transaction or just the fact that without the first-round pick for now, that he cleared some cap space, he restructured another contract in Shaq Griffin so that he has more cap space, and now he has more options to do a variety of different things so he doesn't get caught with his pants down like maybe he did with the Armstead situation. I think that we also have to take into consideration that we're not done. The fact is that we're not even close to the draft yet. So just like the first day of free agency when everybody lost their mind and thought that there was just absolutely no way they were doing things right, people were calling for Casario's head and saying this is awful and they're not doing anything, and then 24 hours after that, everybody was going, wow, what happened? And we told you, relax. So I think you're onto something in that we don't know what we don't know. And right now, there's plenty of time for him to do a multitude of different things and handle things a lot of different ways to make sure that they still get this D-line covered and probably still get a corner in the process.
I do think, to the caller's point, like some of these moves we've seen the Casario and the Texans make to save money, whether it be the Malik Collins trade that saved them like 2.5 against the cap this year, obviously restructuring Shaq Mason.
Shaq Mason, not Shaq Griffin, my fault.
Yeah, Shaq Mason. I mean, Legarius Sneed, the Chiefs are looking. While the caller was talking, I found an article from just a few hours ago. The Chiefs are still trying to trade him, but apparently a holdup, according to a guy from ESPN, is – agreeing to terms of the next contract.
Are you going
to
pay him 20 a year, 20 plus?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, look. Apparently, the holdup is the teams are trying to trade LeGarrette Sneed too, are having trouble agreeing to the number that Sneed wants on the new deal. So maybe saving some money, restructuring, trading guys away to free up more cap space. That could be a sign that the Texans are interested in adding somebody that would require a big dollar number.
Somebody, yes, a corner. I don't think so at that price.
They do need it.
But we go back to what we started this entire offseason with, DeMeco wanting to shore up the run defense. That's the one area of the defensive line that they haven't upgraded yet because there's still a need for a big run-stopping type guy that's dominant. That's why I would say I hear what you're saying in terms of one more move to make, and I believe that that's possible. I just don't believe that one move to make is going to be a corner of the caliber of Sneed that's going to cost you as much as he's going
to
cost you.
I tend to agree with you. I would say trade for LeGarrette Sneed is definitely unlikely. I was just trying to run with the scenario that the caller presented. But if they do make that move, and I agree with you also that they obviously have to make another move at defensive tackle. I don't think they can go into the season with Mrs. Foley's baby boy in Settle as your defensive tackles next to DeNico Autry. But that move could be someone they pick in the second round. We brought up Devondre Sweat's name a lot. So even if they don't make a big move for a defensive tackle or free agency and they decide to go with a guy like LeGarrette Sneed instead, it wouldn't prevent them from then getting the help they need at defensive tackle in the draft with the two second-round
picks.
They
have options. There's a way to get where they need to get to, and they have time on their side right now because we're not in a hurry to do this in the next 24 hours. So everybody, again, needs to kind of just relax. They digest what's happened so far, but understand they're far from done. Yeah, they traded their first-round pick today. Who's to say they don't trade back into the first round tomorrow? Or answer your concerns by getting someone that you wanted all along anyway. Let's get another call in here on the same topic. Mark's coming in hot, talking about the Texans draft. Mark, what do you got?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? I'm frustrated, man. It seems like we can't keep no big-name free agents. Nick can't go out and get no free agents. And now he wants us to expect these people he just brought in and stuff on 1-2 year deals and stuff, man, to actually mold into the team and stuff. Man, it's time for Nick Caserio to go.
Mark, you know who the number one
yes, sir.
You know who the number one pass rusher in free agency was this year? Who was on the board as the number one the top rated defensive pass rusher on the free agency board this offseason? He's new Texan Danielle Hunter. Man. If you got the number one rated pass rusher, and he's better than Grenard of the two, you let Grenard walk and replace him with the number one rated defensive pass rusher on the free agency board, and you're telling me he's not doing anything?
That is your opinion on that situation right there. But as for trying to help us with the offense and stuff like that, he haven't done anything right there. Anybody basically could have drafted CJ and Will and stuff and made the team better and
pause.
Stuff, man.
Okay. Pause. Mark, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Pause. You re-signed Dalton Schultz, one of the top-rated tight ends that was set to hit free agency.
They traded for Joe Mixon.
Of the top three, and I'm getting there. You got rid of Singletary, let him walk, to replace him with Joe Mixon and his resume and his ability not only to run the football and be better inside the tackles running the football, but give you 50 catches a year out of the backfield as a receiver as well. And you, again, think that he didn't do anything? I don't know what to tell you.
Look what happened in the playoffs in the second half. We still got to score people. We couldn't even score no one. Once the second half started, we didn't even score anymore.
So, Mark, you played one of the best defenses in football in Baltimore, so it's hard for me to criticize Nick Caserio if they didn't beat the Ravens, who, by the way, had the best regular season record in the entire NFL, but yet they won a playoff game. They won a home
playoff
game.
Okay, let me ask you this one question right here, sir. Let me ask you this one question right here.
One?
Our 18 and our 19 team will beat the mess out this team that we just had and this team that we just got, man. I'm frustrated, man. Nick Caserio needs to go, bro. I'll take that out there. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, Mark doesn't want me to. Mark doesn't want me to come at him anymore.
My goodness, we don't have
enough
time.
Nick Caserio must go. I bet Mark lost his mind on first day of free agency too.
Oh, he's still losing his mind.
Evidently,
he ended that call before he said bye, saying the 2018 and the 2019 Texans would mud hole stomp this current team.
I don't think he lost his mind. I don't think CSI
was that a plan?
Any other search party could find it. He has lost it and it's gone.
That call was so non-logical and all over the place that it almost makes me think it was planned, because nothing he said made any sense at all, other than maybe he's been listening to the Baytown Baddie too much and had his brain poisoned.
Brian, I warned you. There were people out there that were calling for Nick Caserio's head, and he just backed me up. All right. We got a half hour to go in the show.
I can go 30 more minutes on that call.
Let's get to some Rockets talk and some other things before we get out of here. The 5 o'clock hour is upon us. We're going to take a break, come back with a whole lot more, including Houston Rockets and a victory last night. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.